Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the complexity, taking dense strategic documents and turning them into, well, actionable knowledge you can use right away. Think of it as your shortcut to understanding really complex operations. And today, we're tackling something huge, something at the very core of our national security framework. This isn't just, you know, upgrading some software. We're talking about how data itself has become the absolute critical asset for national deterrence, for energy dominance. I'm Charlie Sansbury, and I'll be your guide today. The specific focus, our title for this deep dive, is why the U.S. Department of Energy, the DOE Labs, and the National Nuclear Security Administration need to adopt Cloudera to innovate, secure, and accelerate speed to mission. It's a mouthful, but it gets right to the point.
And I'm Aaron Kohlberg. My job here is to unpack the source material we're looking at, things like the NNSA Enterprise Blueprints, key federal mandates, and some pretty stark assessments from the DOE's own Office of Inspector General. And what these documents show, Charlie, is, well, it's a whole complex of agencies, really. At a crossroads, you've got global security pressures, this huge push towards AI, and then, honestly, infrastructure and data systems that, yeah, some literally trace back to the 1940s.
Wow, the 40s. Seriously.
Seriously. So managing data, it's not just IT support anymore. It is the mission.
Yeah.
And sticking with the old ways, that's actually become a major institutional risk.
Okay, the status quo is a risk. That's a really powerful way to put it. So for you listening, our mission today is pretty straightforward. We're going to break down three key drivers: the strategic imperatives pushing for change, the federal mandates that make it non-negotiable, and the operational realities on the ground. We want to show you exactly why getting a unified modern data platform isn't just a nice-to-have IT upgrade. It's absolutely foundational for these agencies to, you know, actually do their jobs effectively and quickly in the 21st century.
Exactly. Foundational. Let's start with the strategy piece, the absolute mandate to modernize the nuclear security enterprise, the NSE.
Right. This is that NNSA Enterprise Blueprint you mentioned, the big 25-year roadmap from 2024. Sounds massive, multi-billion dollar overhaul. But what's the, like, the core idea behind spending all that money?
Yeah, it's a huge investment. And the core idea is shifting from just maintaining things to building in proactive resilience. The blueprint flat out says the current setup is increasingly inadequate. Doesn't mince words. It demands an NSE that's responsive, resilient, innovative, and flexible. And critically for us, it explicitly calls out the need to get rid of single point failures and really lean into artificial intelligence, advanced computing, and other technologies.
Hold on a sec. Single point failures, usually that means like backup generators or redundant buildings, right? Physical stuff. How does that apply to data, especially when it's spread across, what, 17 different labs and contractors?
That is precisely the leap people often miss. The need to avoid physical failure points absolutely applies to digital ones too. And the DOE's own Inspector General, the OIG, has repeatedly pointed out that their data environment is distributed and decentralized. So think about it. If your critical data could be logistics, personnel files, crucial scientific results, if it's scattered everywhere, managed differently by different contractors and different labs, that fragmentation itself becomes a digital single point of failure.
Ah, okay. So if you can't find the right data or trust it or govern it consistently in real time, the mission just stops.
The mission grinds to a halt. Or worse, you make decisions based on incomplete or inaccurate information. That fragmentation isn't just messy. Their own oversight says it's a direct impediment to the mission.
Wow. Okay. That really puts it starkly. And I guess nowhere is that data problem bigger than with the Stockpile Stewardship Program, SSP.
Oh, SSP is probably the most data-intensive scientific challenge on the planet. Seriously. This is how the U.S. guarantees the nuclear deterrent works without doing underground tests anymore. It relies completely on combining data from old tests, ongoing surveillance, and these incredibly complex computer simulations. It's just a fire hose of data, an absolute deluge.
And it's coming from places like the National Ignition Facility, NIF, at Lawrence Livermore, where they actually achieved fusion ignition recently, right?
That's the one. And also the Z-Pulsed Power Facility, or Z-Machine, down at Sandia, studying materials under insane energy conditions.
Yeah.
These places aren't generating spreadsheets, they're churning out petabytes.
Petabytes, okay. And that data has to somehow mesh with the simulations from the Advanced Simulation and Computing Program, the ASC, the supercomputer folks.
Exactly. ASC builds the monster machines, like Sierra, and the next big one, El Capitan. We're talking exascale computing.
All right, so here's where I see the gap forming, and I want to pause on this because it feels really central to the Cloudera argument. For years, the big money in ASC went into making the computers faster, right? How quickly can we generate simulation data?
Precisely. The focus was almost entirely on compute power, on generation speed. Often, honestly, at the expense of being able to do anything useful with the data quickly, you had these supercomputers spitting out petabytes of incredibly complex physics data, but the tools, the governance, the pipelines needed to quickly ingest it, manage it, and this is key, analyze it using modern AI and ML techniques that just didn't keep up.
So the insight gets stuck, the data piles up, maybe it's governed inconsistently, maybe it's hard to even access, and the actual analysis lags way behind the generation.
That's the operational reality.
Yeah.
The ability to get timely insight from that massive data trove became the critical bottleneck.
Okay, so a platform like Cloudera, its value isn't replacing the supercomputer. They've got that. It's providing that governed data fabric between the supercomputer and the scientist. It bridges the gap from raw data generation to rapid AI-driven insight.
Exactly. It manages that whole life cycle from raw simulation output to validated scientific discovery, all within one consistent governed environment.
Yeah.
That acceleration. It's absolutely mission critical for things like the annual stockpile certification process.
Makes sense. And that speed, that timely insight, it impacts everything. But this data crunch isn't just about nuclear security, right? The DOE's energy side has its own massive data challenges.
Absolutely. Just as transformative, just as data heavy, you've got a couple of big frontiers opening up.
Lay them out for us.
Okay, first there's the Fusion Energy Strategy 2024. Building on that NIF breakthrough, the goal is ambitious, a commercial pilot fusion plant by the 2030s. Yeah. That means huge international collaborations, rapid research into new materials, all demanding a platform that can securely manage and share massive data sets across labs, across borders, while keeping everything properly controlled.
Okay, fusion. What else?
Second, grid modernization. The Grid Modernization Lab Consortium, the GMLC, is trying to build a smarter, more resilient national grid. This requires ingesting enormous high-speed streams of sensor data, specifically phasor measurement unit data, PMU data.
PMU data, that's the stuff that gives you a real-time snapshot of the grid's health, right? Very high frequency.
Exactly. High velocity, high volume. And the goal is to feed this into advanced simulations like the faster-than-real-time models developed at Oak Ridge National Lab, or RNL.
Yeah.
It's a massive real-time analytics problem.
Faster-than-real-time simulation. Oh, okay, my head hurts a little, but I get the data challenge. And then there's this third one, the AI Data Center Initiative. This sounds different, unique.
It really is groundbreaking. The DOE is actually leasing federal land right next to sensitive sites like Idaho National Lab, INL, Savannah Riverside, SRS, Oak Ridge, to private companies to build huge AI data centers.
Wait, they're putting private data centers next to secure government labs. Why?
The idea is to massively accelerate AI development for national defense, for science, by co-locating the government research needs with massive private compute power.
Mm-hmm.
Quick access, synergy, that kind of thing.
Okay, but security. If you have a giant private cloud sitting right next door to a lab doing classified research, how do you share data or models without, you know, massive security breaches?
That's the million-dollar question, and it dictates the architecture. The government's call for these centers explicitly mandates that the private systems must be islanded. They cannot, under any circumstances, pose a risk to the classified or sensitive government network.
Islanded. Okay.
So right away, you have this huge, unavoidable need for a secure, highly governed data bridge. A true hybrid architecture is the only way this works, meaning you need a platform that can securely manage and move data products, maybe anonymized data sets for training, or unclassified AI models between the government's super secure on-premise systems and these new adjacent private cloud systems, all while rigorously enforcing classification rules, export controls, everything.
Got it. So the platform has to span both worlds securely. That's the definition of hybrid, really. A perfect test case for that cloud smart idea.
Exactly. It's the ultimate hybrid challenge happening right now.
Okay, so we've got these huge strategic drivers, modernization, stockpile science, fusion, the grid, this AI initiative all screaming for better data management. But then you mentioned the OIG reports, the operational reality. What does the Inspector General actually say about how things are really working?
Yeah, this is where the aspiration hits the hard reality. The OIG reports are pretty blunt. They consistently state that the DOE lacks the data and governance structure necessary to make critical decisions. Just let that sink in.
Lacks the structure to make critical decisions. That sounds bad.
It's astonishingly bad. It means the agency's own watchdog is saying that the way things are set up, relying on all those different M&O contractors, the 17 labs, each doing their own thing, That very structure is fundamentally impairing their ability to function effectively.
So the fragmentation isn't just inefficient, it's causing systemic problems. What kind of problems?
The OIG lists them out. Impaired oversight, making it harder to track taxpayer money, difficulty spotting fraud, waste, and abuse. And specifically relevant here, they found that AI efforts across the complex were largely uncoordinated.
Uncoordinated AI. Yeah, that sounds like fragmentation again.
It is. So these aren't just minor paperwork issues. These are official documented findings that the core problems Cloudera is designed to fix: enterprise data governance, unified lifecycle management, consistent analytics. These are critical existing institutional risks for the DOE today.
So adopting a platform like this isn't just about getting new tech. It's actually about fixing documented high-level risks, risk remediation.
Precisely. It reframes the whole conversation. Which leads us nicely into the next big driver, the federal mandates, the compliance hammer.
Right, the rules they have to follow, whether they like it or not. Top-down pressure.
And the biggest hammer right now, unequivocally, it's Executive Order 140-0288, the Zero Trust Imperative. This isn't a suggestion. It's a fundamental shift demanded by the White House.
Zero trust. We hear that term a lot. It means never trust, always verify, right? Move away from just protecting the network perimeter.
That's the core idea. But think about implementing that in the DOE's environment. If your critical data is scattered across hundreds, maybe thousands of different systems, old mainframes, random file shares, contractor systems, how do you possibly enforce always verify consistently?
Yeah, seems impossible. You'd need like a unique security policy for every single data silo. The management overhead would be insane.
Exactly. It's operationally unworkable. Meaningful zero trust is impossible with that kind of data fragmentation. Every silo ends up with its own bespoke access rules, inconsistent enforcement, huge security gaps. It completely undermines the central idea of zero trust.
Okay, so how does a platform like Cloudera actually make zero trust feasible in such a complex place? What's the technical magic?
It provides the missing piece, a unified control plane, an abstraction layer that sits between the users, the analytics tools, and the actual data wherever it lives. The platform's built-in governance layer, they call it the Shared Data Experience, or SDX, allows the agency to define security policies once and have them consistently enforced right next to the data itself. Mm. And crucially, it uses attribute-based access control, ABAC.
ABAC. Okay, unpack that a bit. How is attribute-based access control different from the usual role-based access, RBAC, especially in a place like NSA where things like security clearances are paramount?
It's a game changer in granularity. RBAC is broad. You know, if you have the role an analyst scientist, you get access to a bunch of stuff. ABAC is way more specific. Access is determined by combining attributes of the user, like their clearance level, what specific project they're assigned to, their physical location, their certified need to know, with attributes of the data itself, like its classification level, CUI, UCNI, ITAR. When it was created, maybe who created it.
So you can write much more precise rules.
Infinitely more precise. You can define a policy centrally, like allow access to data tagged Project Phoenix in UCNI, only if the user has a Q clearance. AD is listed in the Project Phoenix access group. AND is logging in from a terminal within the classified network at Sandia High.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is, the platform enforces this rule automatically and consistently, no matter what tool the user is trying to use to access the data, Spark, Impala, whatever. It can even automatically mask or hide specific data fields if a user meets some, but not all, of the criteria.
That sounds incredibly powerful. Define the policy once, enforce it everywhere, automatically. That's deterministic control.
That's exactly what it is. And that deterministic control is the absolute bedrock for achieving real zero trust compliance, especially with data as sensitive as nuclear weapon designs or critical energy infrastructure details.
And does this tie into that other mandate, the one about logging everything, M2131?
Directly. OMB M2131 mandates comprehensive centralized logging of security events across the enterprise. Agencies need to collect logs from networks, endpoints, applications, everything, and keep them for specific periods. Try to do that at DOE scale with traditional SIEM tools. Security information and event management gets incredibly expensive, very fast. SIEMs are great for real-time alerting, but not cost-effective for long-term storage and analysis of massive log volumes.
So the data platform becomes the log repository.
Right. Exactly. A modern data platform like CDP is the perfect place to build an enterprise logging lake. You ingest all those logs cost-effectively, retain them for compliance, and crucially, you can then run advanced analytics on that historical data, which SIEMs often struggle with.
Okay, so zero trust and logging are major security drivers. What about the mandates around data strategy itself? the Federal Data Strategy and the Evidence Act.
Ah, yes. This is where data stops being just an IT issue and becomes a core strategic asset, by law. The Evidence Act mandated that agencies treat data strategically, required them to appoint a chief data officer, a CDO, and set up formal data governance bodies.
So the CDO now has legal responsibility for managing data across the entire agency.
Statutory responsibility. But here's the catch we talked about earlier. The CDO has the legal mandate, but often lacks the technical tools to actually do it, especially across 17 siloed labs run by different contractors. How do you govern what you can't even see?
The CDO's dilemma. Mandated authority, but no practical way to exercise it enterprise-wide.
Precisely. And that's where the platform comes in again. It provides the technical underpinning the CDO needs. Specifically, the integrated data catalog function, usually built on open source like Apache Atlas, acts like an enterprise-wide inventory system. It automatically discovers and catalogs data assets across the different labs and systems, tracks metadata, and crucially, records data lineage, where data came from, how it's been transformed. This gives the CDO the visibility and the tools they need to actually enforce governance policies and fulfill their legal duties.
Okay, visibility and control for the CDO. Makes sense. One more mandate. The shift from cloud first to cloud smart. Why is that specific change in terminology important here?
It's important because it reflects pragmatism, especially driven by security concerns in agencies like DOE on NNSA. Cloud first was the initial push to move everything to the public cloud. Cloud smart acknowledges reality. The reality is that for the federal government, especially agencies dealing with highly classified or sensitive operational data, putting everything in a commercial public cloud just isn't feasible or desirable.
Right. You mentioned nuclear weapons data, intelligence data. That stuff is never going to sit on AWS or Azure, presumably.
Never. It has to stay within secure, government-controlled, often air-gapped, on-premises facilities. CloudSmart explicitly recognizes this and endorses a hybrid approach. Use the cloud where it makes sense for agility and cost, but keep your most sensitive crown jewels securely on-prem.
So CloudSmart is basically the government saying hybrid is okay. In fact, it's necessary for us.
Exactly. And this is where Clutter's architecture really aligns perfectly. CDP is designed from the ground up as a true hybrid platform. It runs the same software, provides the same management tools, the same security and governance, whether it's deployed in an agency's own data center, in a private cloud, or across multiple public clouds.
One control plane to rule them all.
Pretty much. A single pane of glass to manage data and analytics consistently, wherever the data needs to live based on security and mission requirements. It perfectly matches that pragmatic, security-conscious, cloud-smart strategy.
Okay, the case for needing a unified platform seems overwhelming. Strategic imperatives, non-negotiable mandates, documented operational risks. So let's dive into the solution itself. How does the cloud or a platform technically meet all these demanding requirements?
All right, let's get into the architecture. The absolute foundation of the cloud or a data platform, CDP, is its true hybrid architecture. They sometimes call it cloud anywhere. This isn't just marketing fluff. It's core to how it works. It means the platform's components, the data storage, the processing engines, the governance tools are designed to be portable and work interoperably across that incredibly diverse data landscape. We're talking 17 labs, multiple security levels, different hardware, on-premise systems, maybe some cloud usage. CDP aims to span all of that consistently.
And how does that cloud anywhere specifically help with that AI data center initiative you mentioned earlier, the one with the islanded private compute next to Secure Labs?
It's tailor-made for it. Because you have that single consistent control plane, the agency can define its security rules, its data access policies once. Then it can deploy analytic workloads like a cloud or machine learning workspace wherever it needs to. So maybe the sensitive data stays locked down tight in the secure government enclave, but they can securely push a sanitized data subset or an unclassified AI model out to the adjacent private cloud for large-scale training, leveraging that massive compute power, then pull the resulting train model back into the secure environment.
All managed and secured by the same platform, enforcing the rules across that boundary.
Exactly. The platform acts as that secure, governed bridge, ensuring data residency rules are always enforced based on classification, even if the compute workload runs elsewhere temporarily. It's really the only practical way to bridge those mandated islands securely.
Okay. And the piece that enforces those rules consistently everywhere is the shared data experience, SDX, you touched on?
Yes. SDX is the linchpin for security and governance. Think of it as this persistent intelligence layer that travels with the data. It defines the data's context, its schema, who can access it under what conditions, security policies, how it should be governed, and its history, lineage. This context stays glued to the data no matter where you copy it or what tool you use to analyze it. That consistency is absolutely critical for NNSA.
And you mentioned SDX relies heavily on some key open source projects.
It does. The two big ones are Apache Ranger and Apache Atlas. We talked about Ranger already. That's the engine enforcing the fine-grained attribute-based access control policies, ABAC. It's what gives you that deterministic control needed for zero trust. Ranger is the gatekeeper, making sure only authorized users see the right data, maybe even masking sensitive columns for others.
Got it. Ranger enforces the rules. What about Atlas?
Atlas is the brain. It's the data catalog. It automatically scans the environment, discovers data assets, harvests metadata like schemas, descriptions, tags, and crucially tracks data lineage end to end.
Lineage, meaning it shows where data came from and how it's changed. Why is that so vital?
For auditability and trust. Think about that annual stockpile stewardship certification. The NNSA needs to prove definitively that the data underpinning this certification is valid, hasn't been tampered with, and came from the right sources. Atlas provides that auditable trail automatically. It shows exactly which simulation run produced, which data set, how it was processed, and who accessed it. It's essential for meeting the Evidence Act requirements too, knowing your assets.
Okay, Ranger for policy, Atlas for visibility and lineage. But hang on, you brought this up earlier. If Ranger and Atlas are open source and the labs are full of smart scientists who love open source, why can't they just build this themselves? Why pay for Cloudera? Isn't that just vendor lock-in over free software?
That's a perfectly valid question, and it gets to the heart of the platform value proposition. Yes, the components are largely open source, and yes, the labs could technically download Spark, Kafka, Iceberg, Ranger, Atlas, NiFi, and try to stitch them all together. But the reality, integrating dozens of complex, rapidly evolving open source projects into a secure, stable, scalable, and consistently governed enterprise platform is an enormous engineering undertaking. It requires dedicated teams, deep expertise, constant patching and testing, resources that the labs would much rather spend on their core mission, science, engineering, national security.
So Cloudera's value is doing that integration work, making it production ready.
Exactly. It's providing the integrated, hardened, tested, and supported platform where all those pieces work together seamlessly. SDX isn't just Ranger plus Atlas. It's the integrated framework that guarantees those security and governance policies are applied consistently across all the different analytic engines, Spark, Impala, Hive, NiFi, ML runtimes, and across all the deployment environments, on-prem, cloud, hybrid, right out of the box. It massively accelerates deployment and drastically reduces the operational risk compared to DIY open source at this scale.
Okay, that makes sense. It's the enterprise-grade integration and support wrapper around the open source, which leads to the next big benefit you mentioned, end-to-end data lifecycle management. How does that fight the fragmentation problem?
It directly counters the OIG's findings about relying on fragmented point solutions. Instead of having one tool for ingestion, another for warehousing, a separate one for ML, maybe data sitting in raw files somewhere else, CDP aims to manage that entire flow on one integrated platform.
Let's use that ASC simulation data again. Walk me through its lifecycle on the platform.
Okay. Starts with ingestion. You'd use something like Cloudera Dataflow, which is built on powerful open source, like Apache NiFi for visual flow design, MiniFi for edge collection, and Kafka for streaming to reliably ingest those massive simulation output files as they're generated. Or, for the grid example, to ingest the real-time PMU sensor streams. Mm-hmm. That data then lands in a modern data lakehouse architecture. This typically uses open storage formats like Apache Iceberg or Hudi, which sit on top of scalable storage like HDFS on-prem or object storage in the cloud. Iceberg is key here because it adds database-like reliability and performance to the data lake ACD transactions, time travel, schema evolution.
Okay, data's landed reliably in the lakehouse. Now what?
Now the beauty is that single governed copy of data can be accessed by multiple specialized analysis tools without making lots of risky, ungoverned copies. So your traditional analyst might use cloud or data warehouse to run fast SQL queries for business intelligence or reporting. Your data scientist will fire up cloud or machine learning CML workspaces, pulling that same data to train their complex Python or R models for that uncertainty quantification we discussed. And your data engineers might use cloud or data engineering tools based on Spark to build robust ETL pipelines to refine or combine datasets.
All hitting the same data, governed by the same SDX rules.
Exactly. One platform, one copy of data, logically speaking, multiple analytic workloads, consistent security and governance. It breaks down the silos, reduces data duplication, enhances security, and speeds up the whole process from data landing to insight generation.
All right, the platform architecture sounds compelling, especially the integration and governance. Let's make it concrete. How does this translate into actual mission impact? What are the killer use cases where this platform makes a tangible difference?
Yeah, let's connect the tech to the mission outcomes. The sources point to several high-impact areas where a unified platform directly addresses major pain points.
Starting with the big one, stockpile stewardship and advanced simulation data analytics. You said this is the highest value.
Absolutely, because it tackles that critical HPC AI bottleneck head on. The use case is deploying this unified data fabric, underpinned by CDP, across the key NNSA labs, LLNL, Sandia, its job, to efficiently ingest and manage those petabytes of complex simulation output from the ASC program. Remember, this isn't simple tabular data. It's often multidimensional, multiphysics, sometimes unstructured or semi-structured.
And what specific capability, say from cloud or machine learning, CML, helps the scientists analyze that complex data faster?
CML provides a self-service containerized environment where scientists can access the governed data in the lakehouse and use their preferred tools, Python, R, Spark, to build and train sophisticated models. A key application here is uncertainty quantification. UQ.
UQ assessing how confident they are in the simulation results.
Exactly. UQ models are vital for the stockpile certification. They help quantify the error bars and confidence levels around the simulations that predict how the deterrent will perform. By bringing the ML tools directly to the massive governed simulation data without slow, cumbersome data movement, CML drastically cuts down the time it takes to iterate on these complex UQ models.
So faster UQ means faster, more confident annual assessments?
Directly. It accelerates a core, legally mandated, time-sensitive NNSA mission requirement. Huge value.
Okay, huge value for SSP. What's next? Cybersecurity. Tying back to zero trust.
Right. The enterprise cybersecurity and threat intelligence use case. This directly addresses that M2131 logging mandate and the broader zero trust goals. The play here is to use CDP to establish a central cybersecurity data lake. You use Dataflow to pull in all the security-relevant logs from across the entire DOE complex, network traffic, endpoint detection logs, authentication logs, application logs, cloud trails, everything into one scalable, cost-effective repository.
Replacing or augmenting the expensive SIEMs for long-term storage.
Precisely. It offloads the massive storage burden from the real-time SIEM, saving significant costs. But the real gain is analytical.
How so? What can they do with all that centralized log data?
With all that data in one place, governed by SDX, advanced cyber analytics teams like the A4 group at LANL, known for their cutting-edge work, can run analyses that are simply impossible with siloed data or limited SIEM retention. Think massive-scale graph analytics to map communication patterns, machine learning models to detect subtle deviations from normal behavior, user behavior analytics, or hunting for low and slow attacks that unfold over months. They can query years of historical data to find correlations invisible in short-term views. It moves cyber defense from reactive alerting to proactive, enterprise-wide threat hunting.
Got it. Centralized data enables much deeper, longer-term threat analysis. Okay, shifting gears to the energy side, grid modernization and resilience.
Yeah, this is all about real-time data. The core use case leverages Cloudera Dataflow's strengths in handling high-velocity time series data. You use it to ingest those PMU sensor streams we talked about, coming off the grid at incredibly high frequencies.
And that fire hose of data goes where?
Dataflow can process it in near real time and feed it directly into predictive analytic models or those advanced grid simulation models running at places like ORNL.
The faster than real time ones.
Exactly. The ability to ingest, process, and analyze what's happening on the grid faster than the physical events are actually unfolding allows grid operators and utilities to move from a reactive posture to a proactive one.
Meaning they can predict and prevent failures instead of just cleaning up after them.
That's the goal. Predict cascading failures, optimize power flow, integrate renewables more smoothly. It fundamentally enhances the resilience and reliability of the national power grid. Huge implications for national security and the economy.
Definitely. Okay, one more use case. Non-proliferation and global security. Sounds like intelligence analysis?
It is. This supports critical missions like finding states or groups trying to develop nuclear weapons, often leveraging work from programs like LNL's ADPD Advanced Data Analytics for proliferation detection. The challenge here is data fusion at a massive scale. The platform needs to ingest and allow analysts to correlate incredibly diverse global data sets. We're talking satellite imagery, huge amounts of unstructured data, seismic sensor readings, time series data, global trade records, structured databases, news feeds, social media, unstructured text, all sorts of things.
How does the platform help fuse such different data types effectively?
Again, it starts with data flow for ingesting and maybe doing some initial standardization or feature extraction. Mm-hmm. All that disparate data lands in the governed lakehouse, tagged and cataloged by Atlas. Then, using tools like CML or data warehousing on top, analysts and AI algorithms can look for correlations across these different modalities. For example, maybe an algorithm flags a suspicious pattern. An unusual purchase of specific industrial equipment and trade data, coinciding with satellite imagery showing new construction at a previously unremarkable facility, perhaps followed by faint seismic signals nearby.
Finding needles in haystacks by combining signals from different haystacks.
Exactly. The platform enables machine learning models to detect these subtle, cross-domain correlations that would be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for a human analyst looking at siloed data feeds to spot. It acts as a powerful intelligence amplifier for non-proliferation efforts.
Okay, those are four really compelling high-impact use cases. But the DOE complex is enormous. 17 labs, countless programs. If you're trying to engage strategically, say from Clouder's perspective, you can't boil the ocean. You need priorities.
Absolutely critical. You need a laser-focused engagement strategy.
Yeah.
Trying to be everything to everyone in a place this complex is a recipe for failure. It has to be a targeted land and expand approach.
So where do you land first? Let's talk tier one targets, the absolute must-wins.
No question. The NNSA National Laboratory, specifically the big three, Los Alamos, LANL, Lawrence Livermore, LLNL, and Sandia, SNL.
Why them above all others?
Because they are the heart of the nuclear security enterprise. They own the stockpile stewardship mission. They run the Advanced Simulation and Computing, ASC, program. They host NEAF and the Z Machine. They generate the most critical, most complex, highest volume, and most highly classified data in the entire DOE system.
So success there proves the capability at the highest level and addresses the core NNSA mission directly.
Precisely. A win at the big three creates the blueprint, the technical validation, and delivers immense mission value. It's a strategic high ground.
Okay, that's tier one. What about tier two targets? Where else is there significant near-term opportunity?
You look for key energy and science labs with specific high-value problems that align well. Oak Ridge, or RNL, is definitely one, targeting their grid modernization work and also their advanced manufacturing initiatives. Both are very data-intensive. But probably the most strategically important Tier 2 target right now is Idaho National Laboratory, INL.
Why INL specifically?
Because of that AI data center initiative. They have immediate, high-profile, funded requirement to build that secure bridge between their existing lab environment and the new adjacent private AI compute. It's a greenfield opportunity where Cloudera's true hybrid architecture is almost a perfect technical fit for the stated requirements. Solving that problem for INL would be a major proof point.
Makes sense. Target the urgent, visible need. Now, within those Tier 1 labs, LANL, LLNL, Sandy, is there one specific program you'd target as the initial beachhead, the absolute best place to start?
Yes. Our analysis points squarely at the Advanced Simulation and Computing, ASC, program.
Why ASC above others within those labs?
Because ASC embodies the single biggest, most acute data challenge: managing, governing, and analyzing the exascale simulation output that underpins stockpile stewardship. Solving the ASC data bottleneck, that HPC to AI gap we discussed, delivers immediate, measurable value straight to the heart of the NSA's core mission. It's the point of maximum leverage.
Okay, focus on ASC at the big three. Beyond the where, what about the what? What are the prioritized components and initial plays that offer the fastest path to value, solving immediate pain points?
You need some quick wins to build momentum and credibility. We see three key initial plays. Play one, the M2131 Enterprise Logging Leak. This is often the fastest path to demonstrating value, especially TCO reduction. CIOs and CISOs everywhere are struggling with sky-high SIEM costs.
How does Cloudera help?
By implementing CDP as a scalable, cost-effective logging lakehouse. You use data flow to ingest all the security logs, but you store the bulk of the historical data, the warm and cold data, in the cheaper lakehouse storage, not in the expensive real-time SIEM tier. This allows the SIEM to focus on real-time alerting while the platform handles long-term retention and deeper analytics. Customers often see 30, 50% reduction in C ingestion costs.
So immediate budget relief plus better compliance, that gets attention.
Always. It solves a real CISO headache quickly.
Okay, play one is the logging lake. What's play two?
Play two, the Citrix ICS telemetry backbone. This targets a very specific high concern area, cybersecurity for operational technology, OT, and industrial control systems, ICS. Think power grids, manufacturing systems, lab equipment. Teams like those at CSER, Service Security, Energy Security, and Emergency Response, or INL, are deeply worried about cyber threats to critical infrastructure. The problem is, OT data is often siloed by vendor systems.
So Cloudera provides the way to bring it together.
Right. Use Dataflow to ingest telemetry, firmware versions, software bills of materials, escrow bombs, from all the different OTIS vendors into a unified governed lake. This breaks down the vendor silos and allows security teams to do cross-vendor risk analysis, vulnerability management, and anomaly detection across their critical infrastructure footprint. Addresses a major blind spot.
Got it. OTIS visibility, what's play three?
Play three, the governed AI workbench using CML. This addresses the needs of the chief AI officer, the data scientists, the researchers who are actually trying to build and deploy ML models. Their friction point is often getting secure, self-service access to the data they need with the tools they want while still complying with all the governance and lineage tracking requirements. CML, integrated with SDX, provides exactly that.
Self-service ML, but with guardrails.
Exactly. Let scientists quickly spin up environments with their preferred libraries, access governed data from the lakehouse via Ranger policies, train models, and critically ensures that the entire process from data source to feature engineering to model deployment has lineage tracked by Atlas. This satisfies auditability and AI transparency needs and ensures models can be safely and reliably ported between different secure enclaves.
And the key tech components for these plays?
You absolutely need the core. SDX, Ranger for policy, Atlas for catalog lineage, Dataflow for ingestion, probably Iceberg for the modern lakehouse table format, and then depending on the play, data warehouse, CML, or data engineering. But SBX is the non-negotiable foundation for all of them.
Okay, that's a clear prioritization. Target labs, target programs, target initial plays. The final piece is tailoring the message, right? Mapping to key personas, speaking their language.
Crucial. You can't give the same pitch to the CIO and the lead scientist. You have to frame the value in terms of their specific metrics and pain points.
So let's run through the critical ones. The CIO or maybe the deputy CIO, what's their main concern?
Budget, compliance, enterprise modernization. So the message is, CDP is the secure, compliant, and cost-effective hybrid data foundation you need to meet your zero trust mandate, execute cloud smart efficiently, and significantly reduce your SIEM TCO. It modernizes your infrastructure while controlling costs.
Okay. What about the chief data officer, CDO? Their pain is visibility and that legal mandate from the Evidence Act.
Exactly. So the message is all about governance and control. CDP, with its integrated Apache Atlas data catalog and SDX governance, gives you the enterprise-wide visibility and control needed to finally fulfill your Evidence Act mandate. Turn fragmented data across 17 labs into a unified, governed, discoverable strategic asset.
Makes sense. Now, the ASC program director at LANL or Livermore, they care about mission speed, right? Getting those simulations analyzed.
Pure acceleration. The message has to be, Cloudera rigs the bottleneck between your petabyte-scale HPC simulations and the AML analysis needed for certification. Our platform accelerates time to insight, getting simulating results turned into actionable, certified scientific understanding faster and more reliably on a single governed platform.
Direct impact on their core deliverable. Lastly, the security folks. The CSO, or the Information System Security Manager, ISSM, they live and breathe deterministic control, especially for sensitive data like CUI or UCNI.
Absolutely. For them, you emphasize the guarantees. Cloudera provides deterministic control over sensitive data like CUI, UCNI through fine-grained, attribute-based access control and data masking enforced by Apache Ranger. Define policy once, enforce it everywhere across all analytic tools, with automated Apache Atlas lineage providing immutable audit evidence for compliance.
So security assurance through demonstrable technical controls.
Exactly. That targeted messaging is key to showing how the platform isn't just a tool, but an essential partner in achieving their specific mission objectives.
Okay. This has been incredibly detailed. Let's try and bring it all together.
When you step back, the alignment here is really quite striking. You have the NNSA's own long-term strategy demanding resilience and modernization. You have the sheer data scale from stockpile stewardship creating an undeniable technical need. You have the absolute hammer of federal mandates like Zero Trust and the Evidence Act forcing change. and you have the DOE's own Inspector General repeatedly documenting the risks of the current fragmented approach.
It really does feel like a perfect storm scenario where all the pressures are converging on the need for a unified data strategy. The old way just isn't viable anymore.
It's not. And CDP, with its specific architecture, the true hybrid capability, the integrated SDX governance layer built on Ranger and Atlas, the end-to-end lifecycle management, it seems architecturally designed to meet these converging demands. It really looks like the kind of strategic data foundation required for mission assurance in this new era.
And the strategic recommendation remains clear.
Absolutely. A focused land and expand. Start with the Advanced Simulation and Computing ASD program at the Tier 1 NNSA Labs, LANL, that's the beachhead. Solve their biggest data problem first. Prove the value at the heart of the mission and expand from there.
It's a compelling case. Which leaves us with a final thought for you, our listener. If data truly is the new currency of national security, the key to energy independence, then maybe the real competition moving forward isn't just about who builds the biggest supercomputer. Maybe it's about who can most effectively govern, secure, and actually exploit the data generated by those machines across their entire complex distributed enterprise. How does adopting a unified, truly hybrid data platform fundamentally change the risk calculation for securing our nation's most critical assets? And how much faster could it accelerate achieving our most ambitious scientific and energy goals? Something to think about.